All right, everyone, welcome back for another deep dive.
Yeah, hey.
Today we're taking a trip back to Panem.
Back to Panem.
We are so excited about this one.
I know.
This is Suzanne Collins' new prequel to The Hunger Games.
Yes.
The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes was great, but I don't know.
It's been a long time.
It's been a while.
Yes.
Yeah, we've got some early excerpts from Sunrise on the Reaping.
Very exciting.
And we are going to dive deep.
Oh, Mike, let's do it.
So this is all about Haymitch Abernathy.
Yes.
Right before Katniss Everdeen.
Mm-hmm.
Before The Girl on Fire.
Yep.
Before everything that we know and love from that trilogy.
Right.
This is his experience as a tribute in the 50th Hunger Games.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the 50th Hunger Games were a little different.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. Because they were the second quarter quell.
All quarter quell.
And so we've got double the tributes.
Double the tributes.
48 in total.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about what we know about Haymitch, what we're getting from this new material from Suzanne Collins, and also what we think this means for this series as a whole.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, so.
Let's go.
What are we learning about Haymitch?
Well, one of the big things is we're seeing Haymitch at 16.
Oh, wow. Okay, so really young.
Yeah, a kid.
A kid.
Pretty much.
Okay.
And, you know, thinking about the Haymitch we know later, he's this, you know, kind of grizzled.
Yes, cynical.
Cynical, drunk, sarcastic kind of guy.
Right, right.
But here, he's only 16, and one of the things that we learned that's really interesting is that he was really in love with a girl named Lenore Dove.
Lenore Dove.
Yeah, what a name, right?
Now, okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Haymitch is the ultimate cynic.
Right. He hates love.
Yes.
So how do we get from this 16-year-old who is head over heels to the Haymitch that we see later?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that this Lenore Dove doesn't stick around too long.
Doomed romance alert. Yeah, I think we can kind of guess how this is going to end up.
Well, yeah, he's got to become the Haymitch that we know and love.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And so...
That'd be tragic.
Got to be some tragic backstory.
Yeah.
Okay.
That happened.
All right, so
we've
got... Young Haymitch.
Young love.
Young love.
Doomed romance.
Doomed romance. And it's not just him.
No.
There are these other District 12 tributes that we're learning about.
That's right.
And there are three others, right?
There are three others.
Okay.
So we have Maisily Donner.
Oh.
Now, if that name sounds familiar, it should.
Okay.
Because she is Rue's aunt.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is connecting back.
This is connecting directly to the original trilogy.
To the original. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So we know that Rue and Maisily had this really special bond.
Right. They did.
And now we get to learn more about Maisily.
Oh, wow.
Her personality, what she's like.
Yeah, okay.
How she interacts with Haymitch.
I can't wait.
Yeah. It's really cool.
Okay. So we've got Maisily Donner.
Then we have a gambler.
Okay, a gambler.
Yeah, not much is known about him.
Mysterious.
Yeah, kind of mysterious. But you can just imagine this guy, you know, kind of shady.
Yeah.
Always working an angle.
Okay.
Maybe he's going to try to use his skills in the games.
Oh, that would be interesting.
It's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out.
Okay, a gambler, and then there's one more.
And then last but not least, we have the girl described as the most conceited girl in town. So already we know she's going to be trouble. Yeah. You know, she's going to think she's better than everyone else.
Oh, no.
Going to cause some drama.
Okay, so we've got this powder keg of personalities.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Going into the games. And from what we're getting in these excerpts, Haymitch kind of feels like he's set up to fail.
Oh, yeah.
He feels like this is a hopeless situation.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that resonates so much with readers?
Well, you know, I think a lot of us have felt that way at some point in our lives, you know, where you just feel like the world is against you.
Right.
And you can't catch a break.
Especially when you're 16.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you...
Hormones are raging.
Everything feels so intense and so important. And so to be in that situation and then to be thrown into the Hunger Games, it's just like the ultimate...
Nightmare.
Yeah, total nightmare.
Total nightmare.
And so I think it's easy for us to connect with that feeling of just being overwhelmed and just feeling like, you know, what's the point? I'm going to die anyway.
Right.
Why even try?
Yeah.
But the thing is, Haymitch doesn't give up.
Okay. He doesn't give up.
And that's what's so interesting.
Okay.
Because he has this determination, even though he's only 16, even though he's facing impossible odds.
Yeah.
He still wants to make his struggle mean something.
Okay.
He wants to find a reason to survive.
So do you think that's maybe where we're starting to see that spark of the mentor that he becomes?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I think this is where it starts. this defiance, this refusal to just give in.
Yeah.
I think that's what eventually allows him to become the mentor that Katniss needs.
Yeah, because he knows what it's like to be in that arena.
Exactly. He knows how it feels.
Yeah.
He knows how desperate it is, and he knows how important it is to find a reason to keep going.
Right.
And so I think that's what he tries to instill in Katniss.
Okay.
That you have to find something to fight for. Mm-hmm. Something bigger than yourself.
Okay, so he's going through all of this.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because one of the things that Suzanne Collins mentions in this book is this idea of David Hume's philosophy of implicit submission.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so
this is where it gets really interesting.
I have heard of David Hume.
Right.
But I feel like a lot of people maybe aren't super familiar with his work.
Yeah, he's a philosopher.
Yeah.
And he's got some, you know, pretty complex ideas.
Yeah.
But basically what he's saying is that a small group of people can control a much larger group.
Oh.
If the larger group just kind of goes along with it.
Right.
They don't necessarily have to use force.
Okay.
It's more like this unspoken agreement.
Right.
Where people just accept the authority of those in power.
Okay.
Even if they don't agree with it.
So like the Capitol?
Exactly like the Capitol.
Okay.
The Capitol has this power over the district.
Right.
And the districts. Even though they hate the Capitol.
Yeah, they hate the Capitol.
They still send their kids to the Hunger Games.
Right.
They still follow the rules.
All right.
And that's what allows the Capitol to stay in control.
So how is Suzanne Collins exploring that further?
Well, she's really focusing on propaganda and narrative control.
Okay.
Think about how the Hunger Games are presented.
Right.
It's all televised.
Yeah.
It's all carefully edited and packaged.
Right.
To make it entertaining, to make it exciting.
Right.
To distract people from the horror of what's really happening.
And we get that in these excerpts.
Yeah.
Right, where Suzanne Collins poses this question, real or not real?
Chilling, right?
Yeah.
Makes you question everything you're seeing because you don't know what's real and what's been manipulated.
Yeah.
And that's the point.
Right.
To sow doubt.
Yeah.
To keep people off balance.
And that's so relevant today.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Think about the world we live in.
With social media.
And all the information. Misinformation.
Fake news.
Fake news, yeah.
How do we know what to believe?
That's the question.
Right. And I think that's what makes this book and this whole series so compelling.
Yeah, it's not just entertainment.
Right.
It's making us think.
It's making us think.
About our own world.
Yeah.
About the power of information.
Yeah.
And how easily we can be manipulated.
So we've got these deep themes and this terrifying situation that Haymitch is in.
Mm-hmm.
But this is all coming to the big screen.
Oh, yes.
Soon.
November 2026.
Mark your calendars.
Lionsgate is bringing it to us. I can't wait.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. How are they going to show this on screen? All this psychology, all this manipulation.
The brutality.
Oh, yeah. The brutality.
The game's going to be intense.
But here's a question.
Okay.
For you and for all of our listeners out there.
Right.
We know that Haymitch eventually becomes the mentor.
Right.
That we see in the original trilogy.
Yep.
Right. He helps Katniss.
Mm-hmm.
He guides her.
Yes.
He helps her survive.
Yeah.
Knowing what he goes through in these games, what do you think shapes him into that role?
Oh, that's a great question.
Right.
Because he's got to survive.
Right.
But he's also got to survive mentally and emotionally.
Yeah.
Right? He can't just be a broken shell of a person.
Yeah.
He's got to find a way to process this trauma.
Yeah.
To find a way to use it.
Right.
To help others.
Yeah, so what does he have to do?
Yeah, what does he have to do to become the Haymitch that we know?
It's a question worth considering.
It is.
Yeah.
All right, so that's all the time that we have for today.
Wow, that was a lot.
We covered a lot
about
Sunrise on the Reaping.
So much to think about.
I know, but Sunrise on the Reaping officially comes out March 18th.
Mark your calendars.
Mark those calendars.
Yeah.
And until then, happy reading and may the odds
be ever in your favor.
Be ever in your favor.
See you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.